the entire 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I'll be considering verses 9 to the end of the chapter. So I'm going to read the entire chapter. We've considered verses 1 to 8. I'm going to try and open up verses 9 to 21. Hear now God's word, Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Amen. May God help us understand even this portion of his word today. You may be seated. One of the many awesome things about the Bible, the written word of God, is clearly the things that it reveals. Things impossible to know apart from the Bible, the written word of God. One awesome example is seen in the opening verses of Revelation 19, the verses I considered last Sunday. Heaven's attitude towards the truth that salvation is of the Lord. What's heaven's attitude? Alleluia. Praise the Lord. The fact that the Lord God is going to judge those who have rebelled against his beloved Son and persecuted even unto death those who sought to follow their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is heaven's reaction to this? Alleluia. Praise the Lord. But why will all the redeemed and saved of the Lord be able to enter into and enjoy the holy presence of God? Because His blood-bought bride, Christ's glorified church, will be clothed in the only righteousness that God accepts, the righteousness of His beloved Son. Verse 8, and her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. As Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, from the perspective of John, the one who was told to write the book of Revelation, all things he was shown were future to him. But not for us, if the historical way I have sought to open up this historical book has been correct, since all things were made by Christ and for Christ, including history. But although all things were future to John, the same can be said for us as well with respect to the truths revealed in the verses I've reached in Revelation 19. And I confess these are awesome verses. I confess these are challenging verses. Why? Because they reveal things that are yet to take place using powerful imagery again. Two things to be specific. One, for confessing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that the Lord has redeemed from every tribe and people and language and tongue throughout time. And one for those who have rebelled against God and sought to replace Him with their various religions and philosophies. Both awe-inspiring, but for radically different reasons, because of what they reveal. To put it as clearly as this, these verses show that there are two suppers coming. There are two suppers coming, one of blessing and one of judgment. And in the words of Paul, who is sufficient? Who is sufficient to open up these two radically different suppers? I confess, not this preacher. Only God, through one of His holy angels, could have revealed to John and those willing to read and hear that God in His sovereign providence has decreed the coming of two suppers. Two suppers that could not be more radically different in light of what is revealed and said about them in these verses. Two suppers that reveal different truths about the Lord Jesus Christ, truths that do not conform to the many false ideas about the Lord Jesus Christ popular in the world today. And in how many gatherings of people called churches, for how many would say, I believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus revealed in Revelation 19. Especially the latter verses. How many today believe in an antichrist and not the biblical Christ because their false Christ is in conflict with the Christ revealed in this chapter? Two radically different suppers. Now what is the first supper called? Verse 9, and he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is the second supper called with different attendees? Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Can there be two more different suppers than the ones pictured in this 19th chapter of Revelation? But to begin, who of us here can even comprehend the blessing, the blessed truth being pictured by the words, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Who is being pictured here? The Lord Jesus Christ. In the words of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Earlier in Revelation 7:10, and cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb that Abraham told Isaac the Lord would provide, is come to and died to save His people from their sins. But He's coming again. He's coming again to sit down with them at His marriage supper. Now, is this a metaphor? Is this a word picture? A picture of something else, as so much of Revelation has already shown itself to be? Why do I say this? Because what did Jesus tell His disciples? What did Jesus tell His disciples on the night He was betrayed? He told them that He would not drink again from the fruit of the vine until He drank it new in the kingdom of God. And after He rose from the dead, He ate fish and honeycomb in their presence. When you think of the enjoyment associated with what would be called the wedding reception of a couple that has gotten married, what will the marriage supper of the Lamb be like? For those called to it by the sovereign grace and mercy of God, what truth is being revealed by the statement John was commanded to write, "Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb"? Jesus, the Lamb of God, died so that He could present to Himself His glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell when Jesus returns. When will this supper take place after He returns? I don't know. How will it take place? I don't know. But John is told who are going to be there, the called of the Lord. The called of the Lord. One plants, another waters, but only God gives the increase. The called of the Lord. Those at the marriage supper of the Lamb don't invite themselves. Don't invite themselves. They are called of the Lord. What did Jesus say? All given to Me of My Father will come to Me, and all who come to Me I will in no wise cast out. Because He died so that they could attend what? His marriage supper. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Clothed in His righteousness alone, which will enable those called of the Lord to sit down with Him at His marriage supper when He returns. What has been called the effectual call of the Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit, is described by Jesus in John 3, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those who have come to see by that call that the Lamb whose supper it is the only one who could have made them able to sit down with Him at His supper. The universal call of the saving gospel of God is to be preached by the church of Christ in all the world. But the effectual call of God reaches down and regenerates the dead hearts for whom Christ died, showing to them their absolute need of the Lamb of God to make them capable of sitting down with Him at His marriage supper. A person who thinks they'll be able to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb because of something they have done are showing they don't understand themselves or the saving gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ. That wonderful name so often taken profanely. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is my only hope of acceptance with God. And being able to sit down at His supper, I must be clothed in His righteousness alone to be able to sit down with Him at His marriage supper. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And there are not going to be any empty seats at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because the Father will answer the prayer of the Lamb of God, His beloved Son, regarding those He wants there. John 17:24, Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. What a blessing this truth must have been for John, a prisoner of the Roman state in the mines in the Isle of Patmos. Being a prisoner of this idolatrous state because I preach Christ is not going to prevent me from being able to sit down with the Lord who died to save me. What a blessing it has been for those who have and are suffering for the truth of the saving gospel today and throughout history. But remember something. If you confess the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one able to make it possible for you to sit down at His marriage supper, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to war against you. They're going to war against your soul, believer, and being blessed by what John has been told by this angel. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief in a world controlled by the devil that traffics in unbelief and rejection of thy word. Because notice what the angel tells John and you at the end of verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. What the angel has told John regarding the blessedness of being called to the marriage supper of the Lord is not something the angel made up. It was something given to him to reveal to John by the God who cannot lie. But as John is told this, what does he do? Something he is clearly told not to do. But before you are critical of John, ask yourself something. What would you be tempted to do in the presence of such a heavenly being and heavenly revelations? What does John think he needs to do? Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. The holy and heavenly splendor of this declarer of God's truth needs to be worshipped. But what does the angel tell him? And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren and that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But what you are being shown by this error of John, that even holy angels are not to be worshipped. Holy angels are not to be worshipped and bowed down to. And if holy angels are not to be worshipped or bowed down to, what does this say about those willingly bowing down to lifeless statues and icons? What's the angel saying? Don't do it. Don't do it. But why is John told not to? I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Holy angels are ministering spirits for those who will inherit salvation. Think of it from this perspective. Who did the Lord use to reveal to Zechariah that his son would be the forerunner of the Lamb of God? He used an angel. Who did the Lord use to tell Mary that she would be the mother of the Lamb of God? He used an angel. Who announced to the shepherds that the Savior of the world had been born? An angel. Heavenly angels point people to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men who talk about their encounters with angels, but those angels don't testify to the biblical Jesus, are testifying that they're listening to fallen angels, not holy ones. To give worship to anything or anyone other than the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ is idolatry. How do you know if someone who claims to be a prophet should be listened to? What do they say about Jesus? What do they say about Jesus? I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren and of the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If what someone says about Jesus Christ doesn't agree with what is revealed about the biblical Christ, be warned. Be warned. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to her. Consider this sobering truth. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, and Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, are both seen as prophets. They're both seen as prophets of God by how many deceived people today? But how do you know that they're false prophets? They don't agree with what the scriptures of God reveal and declare about Jesus Christ. I read a very disturbing prayer request recently by a person. He said that we should pray that God would reveal Jesus to the lost in visions and dreams. But what is such a request doing? It's adding to the Word of God. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The Holy Spirit of God chose and used specific men like John to reveal and write about the biblical Jesus, the true Jesus, the only Lamb of God. When the Lord revealed Himself to Paul in the Damascus Road, He did it through words. When Paul spoke to Lydia, the Lord opened her heart to understand and believe the things spoken to her about Christ by Paul. Remember, the false prophet Muhammad wrote about a Jesus. There is a Jesus in the Quran. There is a Jesus in the Book of Mormon. But not the Jesus this angel is referring to. How many claim to have had dreams or visions of the Lord Jesus Christ? They describe the one they describe in terms of all the false depictions of Christ that are so popular in the world today and in too many churches. How many seeing such visions or having such dreams ask questions of the one they think they are seeing? Where were you born? Are you God the Son? Remember, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. Remember, there are numerous Gnostic Christs today. The Christ within. The biblical Christ warns of what? False Christs. None of them are true. They are all false. False prophets and fallen angels present false Christs, not the saving Christ of the Bible. When you tell someone about Jesus, what are you saying about Him? Does what you tell another person about the Lord Jesus Christ have Holy Spirit scriptural support? Would Jesus agree with what you are saying to that person about Himself? Because remember, when the Scriptures use the word Jesus, it is not a user-definable word. It is a biblically revealed and biblically defined word. He is the Lamb of God. He is God incarnate. He is the one revealed in the next verses. Is the Jesus you confess that Jesus revealed in these verses? The one sovereign over the Second Supper revealed in this chapter. The Supper of the Great God. Remember, the biblical Jesus has many names. Not only the Lamb of God, but faithful and true. The Word of God, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. How many have a Jesus that is not coming back to judge this world, that is in rebellion against Him despite what these verses in Revelation reveal and declare, pictured as the supper of God's judgment for rejecting and rebelling against His beloved Son? How many mock and reject the truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Not only to sit down with His glorified bride at His marriage supper, but to judge those in rebellion against Him. And at times I don't think it is wrong to wonder how close we are in light of all that is taking place in the world that shows its rebellion and rejection of Christ Jesus. That how many would have said impossible even a few years ago. Jesus came first to say He is coming again. Not only to present to Himself His glorified bride, but to judge the world in righteousness. And John and you are given a description of this in powerful imagery starting in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and He that sat upon Him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Fallen men can talk of their just wars and develop their just war theories, but when the Lord returns to judge the world in rebellion against Him, it will be based on truth and righteousness. And He has both the ability and the power to do so. Verse 12, His eyes were as a flame of fire. When Jesus returns to judge the world in righteousness, no one will be able to mislead Him or deceive Him. And on His head were many crowns. He owns all nations. He owns all nations, so all nations of men will have to appear before Him. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. The ability to implement and carry out this revealed and coming judgment is something that only the Lord Jesus Christ is capable of doing. God hath committed all judgment to the Son. Truth being pictured in these verses. The folly of man rebelling against King Jesus that will be seen on that day. The folly of man depicted in the Battle of Armageddon, a world aligned against the Lord, cannot prosper and cannot succeed. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Remember something, the book of Revelation does not reveal a milquetoast false Jesus to you. Jesus is going to find out all his enemies. All those who rebelled against him and rejected their need of him. How many seek to get their understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ from the whole Bible? Including what is revealed about him in this chapter. Is it even possible to fully comprehend the truths about the Lord Jesus Christ and the folly of rejecting and rebelling against him as revealed in these verses? When he comes to judge the world, he will bring with him those who will know the only reason they are not being judged with the world is because of the ability he has given to be with him when he does judge the world. Lord, the only ability I have to be able to stand with you on that great day was because of what you have done for me. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in what? Fine linen, white and clean. And you go back to the earlier verse. The righteousness of saints, that gift of God's mercy and grace. One of the many challenges associated with the return of the Lord and his judgment of the nations of rebelling and rejecting men is not only its sobering awesomeness, but friends, that it is pictured in more than one way. It's pictured in more than one way in the Scriptures, but one thing that will be apparent to those not receiving His just judgment when He does return is that the only reason that they are not is because they are clothed in a righteousness not their own and not of their own making. If it wasn't for His sovereign grace and mercy, I would have been like them. For I was born into this world a child of wrath just like them. Because the Lord's judgment of them is going to be based on the Word of God. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Nations of men that have rejected the truth of the Word of God are going to have to face the wrath of Almighty God meted out through the one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. But let's be honest, how many leaders of nations today and those in the nations today honestly believe that they're going to be judged by King Jesus? That they're going to be judged by King Jesus when he returns. Would they be doing and planning the things they are doing and planning if they believe this truth? No wonder the psalmist says in Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are all they which put their trust in him. A just and holy wrath that will be fully revealed when he returns to judge the nations of men that have rebelled against and rejected the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, I do not deny in the least that this just judgment is described in some of the most powerful imagery in the book of Revelation. But there is a reason for it. First, the imagery. Verses 17 and 18, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Friends, how does one describe what God-rejecting rebel men deserve in a way that adequately describes what they deserve? John and you are being given that description in the verses I just read. Yes, it is graphic imagery. But all those being judged by God is powerfully described here. Friends, let's remember this. They're not innocent. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, what? Gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne and against his army. We will not have this man to rule over us. Banish from your mind the idea that man is neutral with respect to the living, true, and only God and his only begotten Son. If rebel, fallen man could banish the Bible and the saving gospel of God that it reveals from the world, he would. He's tried it more than once. Rome pagan and Rome papal have both tried. What will this final assault look like before Jesus returns? Because when the final battle of Armageddon takes place, as described back in Revelation 16, and may very well be being expanded on in these verses, when that final battle takes place against the Lord and His people, can you think of a more powerful way to describe the utter folly and insanity of doing so in light of the consequence for those who do as described in this supper of the great God? Again, the biblical returning to judge Lord Jesus Christ is not the Jesus believed on by how many in America and the world today. How many who can so easily take the name of Jesus and use it profanely are showing by this that they are not hearing or believing on the biblical Jesus described in these verses. Because those who have served their false Christ, their antichrist, are going to be judged by the biblical Christ for doing so, despite how temporarily powerful they think they are. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. There is only one outcome for those who preach and teach a false message of salvation and who reject the biblical and saving gospel. There's only one outcome according to the scriptures, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that outcome? The lake of fire. Let the current Antichrist in Rome show his support for a new world order and a one world religion without the saving gospel of Christ, and all he is doing is showing where he will end up. Jesus knows those who are believing the truth that He is the only Savior of the world, and He has the ability to judge all those who reject Him and this truth. Anyone who thinks they will not have to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in final judgment is not seeing or believing what John is being shown. Verse 21, no one will escape doing so, and the remnant were slain with the sword of Him that sat upon the horse, with which sword proceeded out of His mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The powerful graphic imagery of these verses is showing to all who are willing to see it the utter insanity, the utter folly of anyone rejecting their absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from His judgment that is coming. What insanity is revealed by men who reject that they need the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from His judgment that is coming. And rejecting the salvation from that judgment that is found only in Him. And fleeing to Him in repentance and faith and to Him alone. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner who thinks I will not have to appear before Thee on Thy day of judgment, or think I can do so, not clothed in Thy righteousness alone. Because mankind, humanity, whatever word you want to use, mankind, humanity, exists in only two categories. In only two categories that ultimately matter. Those called of the Lord and will sit down with Him at His marriage supper when He returns, and those that will be judged by Him as pictured by the great supper of God that He is sovereign over. It's as simple as this, friends. Two suppers are coming. Which one applies to you and me? Let us pray. Lord, give us the grace and the guidance and the wisdom to realize that the truth of Your Son is not a truth to be trifled with. Because all those who mock and reject their need of Your Son will stand before Him. Even as all those who have come to see their absolute need of Him. Lord, have mercy on the many we know who are showing by their lives that they are not ready for the return of the Lord. And may You show that we are by trusting in Him alone. Grant us that grace in Jesus' name. Amen.